This track is specifically focused on those who are thinking about getting a specialization that you probably have some experience in the counseling room. And if I were to guess, your experience in the counseling room has probably entailed at some point in time helping people with their marriage, right? A lot of time is spent in that way. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is really the foundational aspects of a marriage and what a marriage is intended to do. Okay, you might say this sounds kind of elementary, and it's true that it is, but it is really the foundation upon which we build all the rest of the counsel when it comes to marriage counseling. So we want to take our time and just kind of take some time to review that and to think about that and to talk about it. Let me introduce myself to you so that you know who I am. It's good to see. I see some faces out here of folks that I've known over the years, and it's good to see you and to have you back here. But my name is Pastor Johnny Kajir. I am a pastor here at Faith Church. I'll be a pastor of community ministries as I work on just trying to help our church with some things community ministries related, as well as special needs ministries related. I'm working on completing my doctorate's degree from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, and my final project for my Doctor of Ministries degree is how to start and run a special needs ministry that would be a blessing not only to those with special needs, but to those who care for those with special needs and to the families of those who are impacted by special needs. And we want to make it something that is evangelistic in scope as well as a blessing to our church. And so that's kind of where my passion is, okay? And I really care about that a lot. Let's talk a little bit about marriage here. Marriage is a great mystery, we're told in Ephesians 5, verse 32. Paul Tripp and Tim Lane wrote a book called Relationship, A Mess Worth Making. They said this: your relationships will take you beyond the boundaries of your normal strength. Marriage is a great thing, but it is also a place in where heart issues are revealed, correct? Have you ever considered by how marriage magnifies stuff? At some point, every relationship will bring you to the end of yourself, and with God, there's no healthier place to be. So think about all the little battles that happen in a marriage. Okay, just think about all of the little battles that are seemingly insignificant, such as, does the toilet paper go over the roll or under the roll, right? Is it a beard or is it a mullet? That's how you have to think about that, okay? So like what do you do with the toilet paper roll? By the way, the right answer is, no, it's behind. It's the mullet, right? If it goes over and it gets in the toilet and you flush it, it unrolls the entire roll down in there. If it goes the other way, it breaks. Okay, so anyways, that's beside the point. All right, so, or do you sleep with a fan on or a fan off? Fan on. I'm on team fan on. My wife is not. So for 16 years, I've been on team fan off. Okay, all right, but that's okay. All right, that's good. Or what about the first time your wife cooks something that's not quite up to the standards that mom used to keep? You ever had burned macaroni and cheese? Yeah, it's delicious, isn't it? Yes, that's right. Absolutely. You get that seconds too, right? Or what about when your husband doesn't do things the way that your dad used to do them? That's not how my dad would have done that, right? I have zero home improvement ability. My home improvement ability is write a check. That's it. Like, that's all I can do, right? My wife's dad could fix anything, right? Like, he could find a way to fix anything. Oh, that's broken? Oh, I've got an old license plate. I'll go figure out how to use that to make this work, right? Like, it's a tree falling over. It's okay. The license plate will do it. Okay. Or how about when your idea for the ideal decoration is different than what your spouse wants? I cannot believe this, but my wife did not want to paint the whole house Cubs blue. She didn't. I wanted that. I thought it'd be a great idea. She doesn't agree with me. Or how about how often you visit your family and your in-laws? I've experienced conflict in marriages where the wife is like, well, we go to see my family once a year, and we go to see his family all the time. By the way, in my house, my parents live next door to me, so I win on that one. But the thing is, like, that's a real thing, right? Those could potentially be conflicts. Marriage is this challenge that reveals who we are, and it stretches us to see who we will become. So what happens when there's challenges in your marriage? Some of the sinful responses we tend to have. We withdraw from each other, right? We just check out. It's not worth the battle, right? Or we blame shift, or we clam up, or we blow up, or we stay at work extra long because we don't want to deal with the stress of going home. I was dealing with a husband recently who said to me, I just want to have what every Midwestern man has. When their wife gets annoyed with them, she sends them to the garage or to the man cave to get away. And I was like, I don't know who actually has that. Like, I definitely don't have that. That wouldn't be expected. But like, what do? We just like, oh, we don't want to deal with it. So guess what? I'm just out of here. There's no hope until the truth of God's word and the leading of the Holy Spirit changes the way that you deal with your selfishness. Now, this is how people are going to come to you for counseling. They're going to have done all of this withdrawing and blame shifting and clamming up and blowing up. And it's probably over bigger issues than the toilet paper roll. Okay? That's probably true. I do have one couple in my past that I counseled that they couldn't agree on the toilet paper issue. So she used this bathroom and he used this bathroom. Okay? I guess that's one way you could solve it. But that's not the way most people are going to be coming to you because of a toilet paper fight, right? It's going to be over things like their finances or your jobs or unmet expectations or hurt or anger or words that have been said that they can't take back. And they'll be at the end of themselves. They'll feel completely hopeless. And that's a good place to be. Because that's where we can start to talk about the hope that comes from the gospel. People in this situation are ripe for understanding. They need Christ to live. They need Christ to make their marriage work. Marriage without Christ is ultimately about how happy you can keep each other. Marriage with Christ is ultimately about glorifying God. And if you're on the same team doing that, boy, it sure goes a long way to getting along with each other. They're very familiar with how marriage doesn't work. So let's show them what God has to say about marriage. So let's lay some of these foundational principles that you may already know. You might already use some of these. That's okay. We're going to talk about them anyways. Let's talk about the foundations of marriage. First of all, marriage is God's idea. Marriage is God's idea. Genesis 2, I'm going to start in verse 18, says this. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. And the man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. So what are some of the things we can take from this particular passage of Scripture? We know that marriage is God's idea, and it's important for us to understand that it's actually part of the creation story. It's part right from the beginning of the story. God makes man. It's not good for man to be alone, so God forms out of him a wife, right? God brings her to him, and he sets up marriage at that point in time. So marriage isn't something that is just made up. Marriage isn't just there where it's an excess of guys and an excess of girls and they were floating around and they decided, hey, we should hang out together. That's not what it is. This is God's plan from the very beginning. So since marriage is God's idea, we should follow his plan for marriage as found in the Bible. Man cannot take credit for marriage's success. Did you know, man can't take credit for that. It's not a man-made thing. Even when society tries to downplay the necessity for marriage, it still is God's plan. He's the one who came up with it. And God has always had a plan and a purpose for everything he does. My dad recently forwarded me an article that he saw on the internet. And so he forwarded me this from, I don't remember who the author of the article was or where what the main source was. But this was the title of the article, okay? Happy marriages are first found in those who wait longer in life and never live together before marriage. Wow, genius. It's almost like God thought about that at some point, right? Like you're not supposed to be living with other people, right? Like, hey, I've got a handbook that can help you understand how that works. It's called the Bible, all right? So, like, we can't take credit as men about this, Lord, that you'll help us to build on this foundation. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen.